Let me take this opportunity to welcome those who are visiting with us. We're happy that you're here. I hope you had a wonderful day. I'm glad that you've shown interest in spiritual things. It says much about your desire to please God, and I hope I can say some things that will help you and encourage you as we deal with the situations that we find that we sometimes have in our life. I want you to open your Bibles in your mind as we study together tonight. If you have any questions, if you feel that I've misrepresented the truth in any way, I count you as a dear friend that you would come out and point that out to me, that we might sit down with an open Bible and an open mind and come to it, thus saith the Lord. It is my intention and my hope to preach and teach those things that which are contained in the Word of God. To do anything more or less would not be profitable for you, nor would it be pleasing to my Father in heaven. So I'm going to strive to do that tonight, and I hope that after you leave tonight, you can say that it's good that you have been here. Please take your Bibles out and turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read a couple passages here before we begin to put our minds in the proper frame, I hope, as we study together tonight. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse number 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he was sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea. Now the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when that Peter came out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the winds were boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Those who were with him came and said and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, this was and is the Son of God." These two events, and the one that was read in your hearing just a moment ago in Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus calms the sea. He speaks to the wind, he speaks to the waves, and they said, "Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey his voice?" Well, to ask the question is to answer. He is the God that we just sang about in the song, the good song that our brother led, in "Master, the Tempest is Raging." That's a really fitting song for what we're going to talk about tonight. So tonight I want to talk to you about the storms of life, making it through the storms of life. Unfortunately, as we talked about yesterday, we all understand that we've got to put the past in the past. And maybe you've mastered that. Maybe you've been able to put your past in the past and you've moved forward. But as you move forward, what happens when storms come into your life? When things begin to happen and things take place that you don't expect, that you don't understand, and that are very troubling and very heart-wrenching. I want to suggest to you, first of all, tonight, that you are going to have storms. You're not going to be able to avoid them. You're not going to escape them. You're going to have them. You're going to have to face them. You're going to have to deal with them. And how you deal with your storms are going to have much to say where you will spend eternity. Turn to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, there is an interesting statement made by the writer James that seems difficult for us to grasp. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." What? Count it all joy when I fall into a trial? When I have things I have to deal with that are make me feel uncomfortable, things that I would rather pass on, things that are making me very unhappy, how can I be joyous about that? How in the world? What does God mean? And then in 1 Corinthians 10, a passage that you're all very familiar with, he tells about that there's no temptation that we have encountered that is not common to man. But with every temptation, God will make a means of escape that you might be able to bear it, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to withstand. Nothing in life that can happen to you, listen to me very carefully, nothing in life that can happen to you can destroy your faith without your help. Nothing that life can throw at you. No obstacle the devil can place before you. No situation in life that you can incur in your lifetime can ever destroy your relationship with God, your faith in your Christ, and hope of heaven unless you give in. But sometimes it seems easier to give in than to fight. I want to suggest to you tonight, first of all, that you need to be thankful for the good time. I'm going to tell you when you should learn how to pray. When it's good. Learn how to pray when it's good. Learn how to be thankful to God. Learn to have gratitude. Learn to expect and be thankful when things are going well in your life. Because it will not always be that way. And pray and prepare for the stone before they come. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to make this point crystal clear tonight. You better develop a faith and a confidence in God and a trust in God before any storm comes in your life. Because if you do not, it will be very difficult for you to turn to God when these storms come in your life if you have not learned to depend on God already. There is a reason why people do not turn to God, because they do not have faith in God. We need to also understand that storms often come at the heels of success. Everything's going well in your life. Your plans are being come out. Your family's doing well. Your business is doing well. Your 401k is doing well. Your investment portfolio is doing great. Great weather. Your house, your kids, everything's great. But wait. Your life's not over yet. What's going to happen when that changes? And brethren, it will change. Not because you want it to. Not because you like it to, and not because God makes it change. Life's going to throw you a curve. Life's going to throw you something that you didn't plan on, you didn't want, and you didn't desire. But what are you going to do when it happens? Beware of shallow theology. Shallow theology today says, oh, if we're a Christian, nothing bad will happen to us. I've heard preachers get up and read Romans chapter 8 verse 28 and say, all things work together for good, and misapply what that passage means. That doesn't mean that nothing bad is not going to happen to you. It doesn't mean that when you're a Christian, you put in this bubble and you put in this little cylinder of protectiveness and nothing evil or nothing wrong or nothing terrible is ever going to happen to you. And that everything's going to be fine and pie in the sky. Brother, God never promised it. It's not taught in the Bible. God told us just the opposite. He told us to prepare for the time that the storm would come. He told us that we need to arm ourselves when the storms come. And remember six things. Tonight I want to share with you six things that will help you when the storms come in your life. When those times come that are heart-wrenching, that are difficult to grasp, difficult to understand, we want to know why. I want to tell you something tonight. You may never know why. And maybe you don't need to know why, because it won't help you deal with the storm. So I want to give you six things that I think will help us when the storms come in our life. Number one, remember who's in control of this world. Remember who you are. Remember who you serve. Remember the greatness and the awesomeness of God. And remember there is nothing that He cannot accomplish. And there's nothing that He won't do to help you. And there's nothing that He won't do in order to help you sustain yourself through your trial. Don't forget about God on the throne. When the storms arise, we need to turn to the sovereign God. As we just read, our brother read in our hearing, in Matthew chapter 8. If God has the ability to speak to the wind and to the waves and to calm it, what storm can come in your life that God is not in control to help you deal with it? In Psalms chapter 89, in verse number 9. Psalms chapter 89, in verse number 9. You rule the raging of the sea. When the waves rise, you still them. God is the one that has power over everything He created. What in the world did God not create? What does God not have power over or control over? Our God is an awesome God. I think we sang that song. I think we sang that song. Our God is an awesome God. Do we believe that? Do we actually believe that He's an awesome God? And when we have storms come our life, why do we throw up our hands? Why do we do what Peter did? Peter said, "If it's you, Lord, let me come out there." And he begins to walk. Think about it. He's walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water. But when did he begin to sink? When he took his eyes off the Lord and he looked at his circumstances and he forgot about God. And you remember what Jesus said? Why did you doubt? Oh, ye of little faith. You're a child of the King. You're a member of the household of God. God in heaven is your Father. You have more help than many millions of people in the world because you're in the household of God. But understand, God may not have the point of the storm, but He allows it. He didn't bring it into your life, but He allows it to happen. Turn to Job chapter 1. You know this story very well, I believe. Job chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. It says, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he had on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and you know what? He did everything but take his life. He made him a poor man in a very short period of time. And then, he lost his children in one day. But you know what verse 20 says in that text? The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and He would not charge God foolishly. Ladies and gentlemen, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, in verse 11, listen to the wise man Solomon. "Return, and I saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches of men to understanding, nor favor of men to steal, but time and chance happen to them all." Ladies and gentlemen, when the storms come in your life, the question is not, where is God? God is where He's always been. He is on the throne. He is there to help us. He is there to answer our needs. He's there to sustain us. He's there to help us endure the pain. The answer is not, where is God? The answer is, where is your faith when your storm comes? That's the question you need to ponder. Where is your faith? Never forget, God is in control. That gives me a lot of comfort in the world that we live in today, to know and understand that my God is in control. Something else that will help you is to remember that there is a purpose. There is a purpose for the storms that come in our life. Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat. In Matthew 14, He told them to get into the boat. He knew there was a storm and He told them to get into the boat. Why? Because He knew what He was going to do. Storms can bring about growth, strength, and patience. I want you to turn to James chapter 1. You know, I've read this passage a lot in my life. And I tried to understand it. I really have. It says, brethren, we read verse 2, but look at verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If anyone you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. The doubting faith. The doubting faith will make your storm much worse. And it will make it last much longer if you have doubting faith. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice, perseverance and character and hope is produced by tribulation. These lessons are not always easy. And we do not always understand why we are receiving them at the time we're receiving them. But they can make us better. They can make us stronger. They can make us more determined and committed to God if we do not lose sight of who our strength is. It is not me. You remember what Paul said in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Through faith, storms can refine us, can purify us, can bring about the salvation of our soul. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 6. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now what's He talking about? What's He talking about? The genuineness of your faith. Your trials build character. Your trials make you understand something that we sometimes forget. You and I need God. Never, ever forget that. You and I need God. There are things in this life that will turn you upside down if you try to fix it yourself. It does not work. Why does the same situation happen to the same person and yet it builds one's character and the other person is destroyed? What's the difference? The difference is the degree of faith that both of them have. Now, ask me this question. Will I understand how it's building my character when I'm going through it? I'll answer that tomorrow night. Will you understand how it's building character? How it's making you stronger? How it's making you better? How it's making you more equipped to deal with the difficulties of life? Will you always understand it as you're going through it? No. But when you look back, and when it happens ahead, you will understand. Brethren, how would we ever learn to love and depend upon God if everything always went the way we wanted it? How would we ever learn to need God? You know, this is a lesson that Israel never learned. It never learned that when it was good, it wasn't because of them. When they had everything they wanted, when they had the houses and the vineyards and all those things that they wanted, and they had peace and men feared them, it wasn't because of them. It was because of the love that God expressed to them in the things that He blessed them with. It wasn't them. It was God. But when we begin to think it is us, when we begin to think that we've done that, and we're all that, and God owes us, you're preparing yourself for a very rude awakening. Because you know what? Life is going to humble you and bring you to your knees to realize you better have God in your corner. There's a purpose in trials, in storms. You may not always understand it, but if you weather it, if you lean upon God and you let Him help you, you will be better when the storm is past. I kind of like this poem. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but all the things I learned from that day from her when sorrow walked with me. You know what? You know what I've learned? You know what the lessons that I've learned the best? And the lessons that have stuck with me the most? And the strength that I had more was not with prosperity. It was not when things were going well. It was when I had to deal with life. And I had to really put my faith to work. And I really had to put my hand in the hand of God. And I had to trust Him, and I had to know that in the end, it will work out for my good if I will only trust Him now. Oh, but that's hard. We can do this ourselves, can't we? Listen, brethren, don't learn this lesson the hard way. God can make you better if you will let Him help you through the storm. You will come out the other side a better person a stronger person, a more committed person, and a person that may understand without any reservation that you need God, and you'll never have a doubt again. You'll never wonder again. You'll never, and when this storm comes next time, the first person you will think about is God. You won't even, nothing else will cross your mind. Because you know God helps you, and you've seen it happen in your life. There's a purpose if we allow God to teach us. Now, you know something I did not just tell you? I didn't say it would be pleasant, did I? I didn't say you would like it, did I? And I didn't say it'd be easy, did I? And you know why? Because God didn't say that either. But it is necessary. Why? You remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, it rains on the just and the unjust. You know what life is, ladies and gentlemen? It is a package deal. You get the good, and you get the bad. The good, that's easy to deal with, isn't it? It's that bad that gets us into trouble, isn't it? Not if you let God work in your life. It will not be bad. I didn't say it wouldn't hurt. I didn't say that it wouldn't cause you some heartache. I didn't say it won't bring you some tears. I didn't say that it won't reach at your time. I didn't say any of that. But I do say that if you learn to depend on your Father and learn to depend on what He can do that you cannot do, when it is over, you will be a better person than you were before the storm. But how would you have ever learned that without the storm? How would you ever mastered that without the storm? Well, preacher, you sound like I ought to just be just happy as can be when it happens. No. But I'm saying, when you try to fight it, by trying to understand it, by trying to figure out the angle, by trying to handle it by yourself, you're not making it better, you're making it worse. And instead of being a storm, it turns into a typhoon. Why? Because we're trying to do it ourselves. Let God work in your life. Remember that Jesus is our intercessor. Jesus had gone up to the mountain to pray. Do you know why Jesus was in the mountain to pray? Do you remember what had just happened? John the Baptist had just been beheaded. And Jesus went up to pray to His Father. Sometimes we may wonder where Jesus is. Do you ever wonder that, brethren, when you have difficulties in your life? Do you wonder, where is the Lord? Where are you? You know, I want you to turn with me to John 6, 17. It says, got into the boat and went over to the sea towards Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. They were already on the other side, but Jesus had not come to them. Where was Jesus? They wondered, where was He? You see, you need to understand, we need to know that Jesus is working for us. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7, in verse number 25. Therefore, He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for us. In Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse number 34, the writer, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, said, who is it that condemns? Is it Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, who even is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Can your trials do that? Can your tribulations do that? Can your storms do that? No, it can't do none of that. The only one that can separate you from the love of Christ is yourself. The storms can't do that. You have to yield and give in. You know why? He said, I will never, never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Ever. Can God lie? God says in Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. God said, I will never, ever forsake you or leave you. Let me ask you something tonight, brethren. Do you believe that? Do you believe there will ever be a time that God will turn His back on you in your time of greatest trial? You know what? You know why God would never do that? Because God loves us. God wants us to be in heaven with Him someday. Do you think that He's going to allow things to happen and not help us? Because His greatest desire is that we be with Him for eternity. His greatest desire is that we be saved. Do you think that He would let the things in life happen to us and then would not help us to overcome them? Brother, my God loves me more than that. My God has never turned His back on me. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I have never turned my back on Him, but I can't tell you that. You know, this blessed assurance is priceless, that God will never, ever turn His back on me. Yes, Jesus has promised He will never leave me. Thanks be to God. I want Him to always be there. And you know why? You know why I want Him to always be there? Because of this next point. I can't make it on my own. Does that mean I'm weak? Does that mean I'm soft? Because I can't make it on my own? I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I'm not ashamed to tell you that I need. You know, we sing a song in the book, I need thee every hour. We could change that to every second. It'd be just as appropriate. You cannot make it in this life by yourself. And if you try, you're going to find life become very unbearable and very difficult and very unhappy. The disciples rowed for 3 or 4 miles against a strong and contrary wind. Did they get anywhere? Did they get to the shore? Let me give you another example. Remember when Jonah, in the book of Jonah, they drew the lot, and the lot fell to Jonah, and he said, cast me into the sea, and the sea will stop its raging. But do you remember what those idolaters did? They rowed as hard as they could to get to the shore to save Jonah's life. But it didn't work, did it? And when did the sea stop its raging? When they put Jonah in the sea. You can't do it on your own. And you want to know something? God never intended you to do it on your own. I'm going to tell you tomorrow night there are burdens that you can face in this life that God never intended for you to ever face them by yourself. Do you understand that? There are things that you can experience in this life that God knows you're going to need help. You're going to need comfort and strength and guidance. He knows that. Can you hear the disciples? Row faster, row harder. We got to get to the shore. You're wasting your time. You're not going to get there. We're saved by grace, not of our own works, or if any of us should boast. Faith and work. It takes both working together. You've got to trust God. Yes, you've got to do your part, but there's a part that you need God to do. We need Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless he go through me. You know, people are not going to be lost because they're in some religious denomination. They're not going to be lost because they believe in Islam. They're not going to be lost because they're in a community church. They're not going to be lost to a host of things. The reason they're going to be lost is because they don't know Jesus Christ. Because they don't have a relationship with Christ. Because they're not in Christ. Because they don't have Christ, they don't have hope. And brethren, who should know that better than us? And yet in our greatest times in our life, in our greatest struggles, in the time of our greatest trial, we seem to forget about Him. And we try to do it on our own. And you know what? We make a muck of it, don't we? And we make it so much harder. So much more difficult. So much more heart-wrenching. And so much more devastating. Because we forget about God when He is there to help us. God will not stop the tears to flow. But God will help you pick yourself up. And He will help it not destroy you if you'll let Him. If you will let Him. You know why, brethren? Because we have limitations. Are you limited in what you can do? You might want to help me. You might want to encourage me. And you might have every intention to do, but things can happen in your life where you'll not be able to do that. Does that happen to God? Is He going to be too busy? Is He going to be too tired? Is He going to be busy with something else? That will never happen. You'll never get a busy signal when you call God. He's never going to say, I'm too busy. Can you come back later? God's never going to do that. Why? Because He has no limits. I do. You do. Remember, you can't make it on your own. Remember that Jesus is near. He's always close by. He's not far away. We may not recognize Him. Jesus will come to calm our fears. No, you can't see Him with the naked eye. But you know He's all around you. In Him we move and live and have our being, Acts 17. The Bible says He knoweth what we need even before we ask. All right, preacher. Why do I got to ask it then? Because He wants you to show faith in Him. Jesus can't help you if you don't let Him. He can't help you bear the burden if you won't let Him. He can't help see you through the storm if you don't turn to Him. And He cannot sustain you if you don't trust Him enough to do it. If you fail in the storm, don't blame God. Because He's not the problem. Now that's tough, isn't it? You know, I don't really like to hear that. But brethren, that's the truth. God is never the reason that the storm destroys our faith. The storm destroys our faith because we forget about God. And you know the last thing I want you to remember, and probably the most important thing to remember, Jesus has power over the storms. There's not a storm you can't conquer. There's not a situation He doesn't have an answer to. There's not a situation that can happen in your life that Jesus can't see you through the gloom, the tears, and the heartache. This doesn't happen. I'll tell you what happens is we can't see the end. God is greater than the storm. God is greater than the difficulty. God is greater than the heartache. God is greater than the challenge. God is greater. He has power over every storm that can happen to you in life. Put it to the test and see. Show me where He's ever failed. Show me something that He never was able to accomplish that He said He would do. Give me an evidence. Give me some evidence that He's not able to do what He says He will do. You don't have any evidence. He has power over the wind and the sea. They're worried.
Good.
He's asleep in the boat. We're up here, we're going to perish. What did he say? He said, oh, ye a little faith. Did you forget who is in the boat? The one that created the winds and the sea? The one that created the water? The one that created all the things in the earth? And he doesn't have the power over all that? He's greater than the storm. When Jesus is in our lives, there is peace. If I got God in my corner, man, I got the best help I can have. I can't be in any better hands. You know that old commercial about Allstate? You're in good hands with Allstate? When you're in the hands of God, where better could you be? What better help could you have? What better could you turn than God? You know what? If we reach our intended destination, if we by faith and trust and obey the Lord, I want you to look at this. I may not know your problem, but I know the answer. I might not know why it's happening. I don't know why it came about. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I know the answer to overcome it. I know what that answer is. And that answer is God. And to trust Him. And to put your faith in Him. And to lean on Him when you can't make sense of the chaos. God has an answer. You just got to accept that answer. But it's hard, isn't it? When the waves are coming, when the wind is boisterous, when life's pounding on you, when your heart is thumping, when your heart is breaking, and you don't know why, you don't know the reason, and you don't know where to turn, you get down on your knees, and you remember who you are, and you remember who you belong to. All is not lost. God is there waiting to help you. But you've got to turn to Him. And you've got to let Him help you. And this Word will give you the wisdom to guide you through the storm. Whatever it is. So, brethren, running out the storms of life. Remember who's in control. Who sits on the throne. You know the answer to that. Remember, there is a purpose in our trial, in our storm. They can increase our faith. They can build our character. They can make us stronger and more determined to serve God and be closer to God. I'm going to tell you something tonight that I will explain more tomorrow night. I'm closer to God today than I have ever been in my life because of what I've experienced. And I want to tell you before I tell you tomorrow night, I had to learn the hard way. I want to save you from having to do that. Remember, Jesus is our intercessor. He's there to help us, to listen to us, to guide us. Remember, you can't make it on your own. God never intended for you to make it on your own. It is not in man who walketh to guide his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. No, brethren. God never expected you to walk the uneven pathways of life alone. Never. Remember that Jesus is near. I have somebody that's very close to me that I love a great deal. That I sent somebody to him. I was too close to him. I couldn't talk to him because I was too close to him. So I sent a good friend of mine to see him. He told my friend, he said, you just don't understand. He said, sometimes you get in so far that there's no way out. He said, have you prayed about it? He said, man, it's hard to pray for somebody you can't see. If you can't see God, then you ain't looking. Because He's all around us. I don't have to see Him face to face to know that He exists. I see His evidence all around me. Remember that Jesus has power over the storm. There's nothing you're going to experience that He doesn't have an answer for. There's no storm that can come in your life that He can't help you get over it and sustain it and not let it destroy your faith and destroy your life. What's the key? In conclusion, what's the key? Here's the key. You're going to have storms. They're coming. You're going to have to endure them. You're going to experience them. And they're going to come in your life whether you like it or not. So what are the options? The options are you can fight against them. You can try to do it by yourself. You can try to reason why it's happening. And you can worry yourself to the grave because you don't know. But I'm going to suggest a better way. You see, brethren, the real question is not what the storm will be. The real question is, how will you handle it? Because you only got two options. You can try to do it yourself. Or you can let the only power that is able to quench and put out the storm help you. It's a very simple proposition. The storm will come. How will you face them? God has not promised us. I want you to understand this. God has not promised us a storm-free journey. It's not going to happen. If you live on this earth long enough, you're going to have a storm. And you may have more than one. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know when it'll happen. And I surely don't know why it happened. But I know it will happen. But you know, we always think that happens to the other person. That doesn't happen to me. That happens to somebody else. No. It's going to happen to you. And it has happened to me. And I have learned. But He will provide the faithful with a safe landing if we will trust Him, if we will turn to Him, and if we will depend on Him more than we depend on ourselves. So my final question tonight. The greatest storm of all is coming. To those who fail to trust and obey the Lord. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the life that we've lived on this earth, whether it's been good or bad. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9 that He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we're going to give an account of is how we reacted when the storms came into our life. Did we trust God? Did we put our faith in God? Did we let Him help us? Did we turn to Him? Did we trust Him? Did we put our faith to work? Did we allow Him to see us through to the calming of the storm? And so tonight, are you ready when the storm comes into your life? Will you be equipped? Will you be armed? And will you be able to take the blow and not let it destroy your faith. Brethren, this life can bring you to your proverbial knees. It can take the wind right out of your body. And if you don't prepare now, it will beat you. It will beat you. There is reason why God forewarned us, so we could prepare when the storm comes. You know, that's why we have early warning systems. That's why we have those sirens for storms. That's why we have those radar trackers. What's all that stuff to do? It's to warn us of impending danger. For what reason? That we might prepare. God is warning you of the spiritual danger to your soul, to the things that can happen in life. That, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that you have no control over. There are things that people and can happen to us that we have not one bit of control over. What do we do when those times come? Are we going to lose everything we gained by being God's child? You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm a child of the King. I serve a God who has never let me down, who has never turned His back on me, who has never, ever not helped me when I turned to Him. He has given me every reason to believe in Him, and I trust Him unwaveringly with my life is in His hands. And I know that whatever happens in my life, that if I keep the course and I trust my Father, and I lean on His wisdom instead of my own, when the storm is over, I will be stronger, I will be better, and I will be more equipped to appreciate and to depend more upon the greatest strength that is at our disposal, and that's the God to whom we serve. The storms of life. Are you ready? And will your storm change your eternal destiny, or will it just reaffirm that you're a child of the King and that heaven is where you want to be someday? The last passage that I want to read before the invitation is in Acts 14, verse 22. Acts 14, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Yes, brethren, we're going to have tribulations before we enter that grand abode. But God never intended those tribulations to change our destination if we will put our trust and our faith in God. God can calm the storm. Give Him a try. You will not be disappointed. If we can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.
Buildings of salvation in the very cross, from death the clay shall rise, to meet the Lord and King at wonder in the sky. It won't be very long, it won't be very long, for Jesus shall appear.